has joined.
Good evening.
Has joined.
Now the question is, where are we? Where do we begin again?
Well, I think we finished 362. I had it marked and I have names on the side of it. That was, well, I don't know. Let me make sure that's my last page. It would have been on 224. That's what I have. Can't be sure I missed some.
No, you didn't miss any.
Okay.
And I think you're right. I thought. Well, let me double.
Has joined.
Because I did. Good evening. It's whoever just joined.
This is Brandela. Good evening.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Good to hear you, too.
I'm getting close. Well, you are correct, Clama.
Well, it was by chance, believe me.
So it's 363. We will begin with a L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud, Kuchabarechu, Ishkinte, Bitkilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu. Liakda, L'Shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, the Yichuda, Shalim, B'Shem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kenenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kenenehu. Rabbi Shimon amar razayihu raglei chasidav ishmor d'Avraham v'kad nafak ishtatah yitzhak v'chadeya v'naflu kameya. Ve'ilav de'ishtata Yitzhak b'chadeya Ve'avraham la ishtetziyu Ahidikti urshayim B'choshech yidamu Ki lo b'koach gage Yigbar ish af al gav techeila Ishtaka tadir biamina ilahawa besitra dismala laitahyan kameya. And the translation, Rabbi Shimon said, there is a secret hidden in the verse. He guards the feet of his pious. Who is Abraham? When Abraham set out to wage war on the kings, Isaac joined him, and they fell before him. If Isaac had not joined Abraham, he would not have been able to slay them, as it is written, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. By strength shall no man prevail. Even though strength always lies with the right, which is Abraham, if the right was not included within the left side, which is Isaac, then the kings would not have retreated before him. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Hashlag's comments. Nothing is accomplished without unity. Even miracles do not happen without unity. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I always like it when I see a sentence that says, there is a secret hidden in this verse. I love it.
Especially after the class we had it. 11 West Coast time.
Yeah. And I tell you, as I step out my door to touch my mezuzah, you know, coming and going.
Absolutely.
You're doing that with your hand, but you're stepping out with your foot. And the idea that, to me, I see it as protection, you know, for where you're going. So, with that certainty, you don't fear being in a doctor's office or in the hospital where COVID is, or people who may have it. I don't know. It was a good secret to find out.
There is a secret concealed in this verse. Some people would call it a mistake.
A mistake. Let's see. Does it have to do with the wicked in the silence?
No.
No.
Is Abraham stronger than Isaac? Abraham, a child, have his child Isaac at the time he fought the kings?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and check the, you know, when he met Jim and.
Well, he has the war between the five kings and the four kings, and Lot being living in Sodom and so forth. That was in the parasha of Lech Lecha. But when does Isaac get born? He's in the parasha of Vayera. But there is no chronological order to the Torah, so. But in order for Isaac to help him, do you think he could help him if he was younger than 13?
Good question. Well, if you think of the meaning of Isaac being laughter, if he was carrying the the consciousness that he was going to be victorious against the king, which, you know, makes you happy. Is it linked to laughter, bringing you to that middle column? With Isaac being a metaphor?
Isaac is always a metaphor. Abraham is always a metaphor.
But in this instant, I mean, are you basically saying that Isaac may not have been born at this time?
I'm basically saying that, yes.
Okay.
Because the Torah says that he went with 318 soldiers or fighters or whatever the translation is appropriate. And then it says that, oh, that was only one person, his servant Eliezer.
Yes.
Whose gematria is 318.
Would Isaac have been in potential?
Obviously, Isaac was in potential if he wasn't born. Because the left column existed before Isaac was born.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't actually get manifested until the binding. Up to the prior to that, the tree was in an imbalanced state. Previous verse, if I remember correctly, 362, it said that Abraham went out to war, not to war, but to negotiate for the release of Lot. And if he wasn't going to be successful, then he would die with Lot. And we didn't discuss that, but essentially what he was saying is, Lot is my evil inclination. Without that evil inclination, I cannot live. Now, that's my opinion, and that's what I processed in that verse, and we didn't talk about it. But can someone exist without their evil inclination? Do righteous people have evil inclinations? The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Kabbalists, the most intense evil inclination is that of the Kabbalist, because they are the highest spiritually. And your evil inclination matches your good inclination at whatever spiritual level you're at. Is there a lot to contemplate here?
Yes, it certainly is. especially since I wasn't really sure if he saw the Shekinah, if that was a vision or he had a dream, because he saw the Shekinah and the angels. Then I wondered if their Shekinah could have actually been when he looked upon his own wife. It gave him insight.
You know what the Zohar says? When a person sees the Shekinah, what happens?
Yeah, they die.
Exactly. Their soul leaves their body. The light is so beautiful and intense that they have to leave because they recognize the limitation of the body.
Mm-hmm. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness. Does that mean they wouldn't see? The Shekinah wouldn't even be available to them.
The Shekhinah draws the soul out of the body, but according to the near-death experience by Rabbi Anava, he was transported by the angel of death, which was extreme darkness that created pain.
Did he know if it was a feminine aspect? Did he say?
He did not describe, he just said the angel of death. Mm-hmm. That's what transported him. He was in this place for centuries. It felt like infinity. He was in this place of darkness that was intense pain for an infinite amount of time. And what was worse is he didn't know if it was going to come to an end. If you know that the sentence is for a certain amount of time, you know it's going to end. It may be extremely hard and extremely difficult and all of the adjectives you want to apply, but not knowing when it will end makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Well, I know when I've gone through a few things, especially when my daughter was real sick for quite a while when she was little, and what encouraged me was knowing that everything had a beginning and a middle and an end, and that somewhere along the way, the end was going to be, and it's kind of encouraging to me, but when it went on for months, it was very hard to go through, you know.
So, shall we take a look at 364?
Yes. I mean, this one has a lot to be exposed yet.
That's true. But we only have 300 more years to go, so it's not a problem.
That's right.
Davar acher ragle asidav yishmor v'shata bebar nash rachim le'alukud shabarichu kud shabarichu rachim Leia Bekoma De'ihu Aved Benater Archo Ida Ahashem Yishmar Tzecha Uvo Echa Me'ata Yad Olam. The translation. Another explanation of the verse, he guards the feet of his pious ones, is that when a person loves the Holy One, blessed be he, The Holy One, blessed be He, returns that love by guarding all that He does and His journeys. As it is written, Hashem shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and evermore, and even forevermore. The verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments and Thomas' comments also that we've had a couple of times today, and appropriately so. Questions, comments,
word feet for me. You know, that as you walk away from the mezuzah and on your way to the car, it just, I don't know, it just really added a lot to know that now every step is guarded. And I remember when I first went to the synagogue back in the 80s, and the rabbi, you had to have a meeting with the rabbi to accept you into the classes, both Hebrew and his Judaic classes. And when, after our interview, you know, he said I could come, okay? And I remember being really concerned with the Hebrew. I wasn't too concerned with the Judaic classes, but the Hebrew, I always felt like I was a visual learner, and I felt like it was going to be oral, and I was going to have a hard time. And, of course, I was teaching and working at that time. And I remember walking into the courtyard and quoting the verse from Joshua that, you know, wherever your foot goes, that it would be given to you. And then before I knew it, I was in those classes for 3 years. And then a few years later, went through an Orthodox conversion and with no Orthodox synagogue around, and a daughter who was very ill. And I had to even take her two children while she was so sick. Her husband worked offshore 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off. And I was teaching and caring for a five-year-old and a newborn baby, 3 weeks old, having to bring them to daycare, teach all day, then go pick them up, come home, diapers, formula. And I'm like in my 50s. And I don't know, just seeing, you know, the hard things you go through and know that you, you know, you're being protected, that everything is like spelled out for you. You know, you just keep going and doing what you can while you can. And somehow it all comes out okay.
I would ask the question, why is he guarding the feet? And then it occurred to me, the mezuzah is controlling or pushing away the negative entity. But where does what's the home of the negative entity? Is it in the earth? Or is it up higher? The answer is it's in the earth. So he has to guard your feet as you walk away from the mezuzah, because that's where the negative entity is going to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
As you step, because feet and stepping is process.
Right.
And that's where he's going to try and trip you up, which is in the feet.
Well, I just found that from that first day of stepping into that courtyard and praying that prayer. And before long, it was conversion. Well, years later, but still. And then end up playing a big part in leadership there, you know, teaching classes and being on the board and secretary of the sisterhood, and had the gift shop for a while. So when I prayed that prayer, it came out to be more than just help with the Hebrew. So I guess when our steps are ordered by Hashem, it sort of goes with that verse as well.
Yes.
Which is, you know, moving from trust, or faith and trust and certainty. And those are the things as you build that Torah within you that, you know, really becomes strong, and it talks back to you when you need it. And I felt like this was the perfect time because of my unsureness about the vaccine, and yet being exposed, being in the places that you were more likely to get the vaccine, you know, get the disease, because doctors' offices and hospitals are full of sick people. And it just was a blessing to get it at this time. So I consider what it said. It was a secret. It's a secret in this verse. The feet play a big part in helping that certainty come around.
So we're about out of time. And our next class will be the writings of the Ari.
Okay.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.